Father, thank you for our time together this morning. In the short amount of time that we have left, I pray that your word would again remind us of the great gift we have of our salvation. But it would also cause us to examine our hearts and our actions and see if we're boasting in self, if there's a wrong or a misplaced pride that we have. And Lord, I pray at the end of the day that our words would be able to say that what we do and why we do it is that you, O Lord, you would receive glory and honor, not us. We're not here to puff up ourselves, our name, our fame, our kingdom, but Lord, we want to exalt you. And so, Lord, show us and remind us and teach us this day, even from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue to walk through Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Now, this morning we have Lord's Supper, and you know there's always time restraints. So I'm going to kind of go very quickly through a large section of text this morning, Matthew chapter 6. But I want to let you know, starting next week and for a few weeks, we're going to slow down and look at what Jesus is talking about regarding prayer. Because in Matthew 6, of course, we have the Lord's Prayer. And then in Matthew chapter 7, he has that whole ask, seek, knock dynamic as well. So we're going to kind of hone in on that especially. But this morning, what we want to do is look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, and just kind of entitled, Obtaining Our Heavenly Father's Reward. All right, so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to look over there with me. And while you're turning there, how many of you have ever seen this sign or have heard this, right? You're not allowed to do anything that begins with the words, hey, y'all, watch this. Any of y'all? I guess it maybe is a Southern thing. We used to hear that all the time, right? Hey, y'all, watch this. And usually, what happened when somebody said that? What followed was some kind of showboating, some kind of like flamboyant, like act, like watch this, I'm going to jump my bike off the roof, or watch this, I'm going to try to dive off the roof into a pool, or some kind of foolishness, right, where you're gathering attention, look at me, right? And so sometimes you'll see things like this, have fun, obey the pool rules, but notice all these things, and specifically, you're not allowed to do anything that begins with, hey, y'all, watch this. That's what we knew growing up as individuals here in the South. The reason I share that is because in some ways what Jesus is driving at is for us not to do that as well, not to say, hey, y'all, watch me. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, and we're gonna amplify that point here in a minute, but there is a tendency for us as believers to want to boast of self. Look at me. Watch what I'm doing. Check out my spiritual walk. And Jesus is saying that's not how we should be. We should be people that are humble and people that when we do things, it should be in such a way that nobody maybe even takes notice. And that we're really okay with not getting any credit because our Heavenly Father who sees what is done, both in the light and in the dark, will be faithful to reward you for your labor. So with that in mind, let me invite you to look at Matthew chapter 6. Following Jesus' words, he's just kind of walked through all that I've said to you. You know, you've heard it said, but now I'm saying to you. And so now he's transitioned and he says these words beginning in verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your heavenly Father or from your Father who is in heaven. Verse 2, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they are being heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, verse 16, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right, so Jesus is taking this issue of how we're living our lives and is challenging us to consider if what we're doing is to honor Him or if it's to get self-acclamation. So let me just invite you to take some notes, maybe going back to verse 1. And the first thing for us to be reminded from the text is this, that this idea of practicing righteousness does not equal obtaining righteousness. And so notice in the very beginning, he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. I just want to pause, and for some of you who are members of this church and you come, I know I say this a lot, and you might say, oh, you've said that before. Yes, but I'm going to beat this drum forever until he calls me home, right? Never, ever will we doing any type of work obtain for us righteousness. Every other religion that's out there, that's what they tell you. Sell magazines, do missions, do these things, and if you do enough good, maybe God will receive you. That is contra the Bible. Never ever do we see in Scripture where if we just do enough good stuff, we will be righteous before God. It is impossible for our righteous works to ever grant to us a right standing with God. That's not the way that God has created His system, because for us, our righteous works are never truly righteous. See, the problem is the law, God's holy standard says this, be righteous, absolutely righteous, perfect, without blemish and without fault and without sin. Be holy because I am holy. But the problem is no one is righteous. But all the world says, well, just do good things. And maybe if I do enough good when I stand before God, He'll weigh my scales and He'll say, you've done more good than you've done bad, so come in. He will never say that to anyone. You're being admitted into the kingdom of God. You're being admitted into what we say heaven or eternity is based solely on Christ's righteousness. And what you do with that in your own life. Reminder of this picture. Look, we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. There are so many false gospels, and we're going to see that in chapter 7 when he says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. All around us, church after church, people after, or person after person, are going down a road of destruction. All the while, God in His Word has said, it is only by trusting in Christ alone. Why? Because Christ's death, Christ is the only one who has ever been holy, perfect, and sufficient in fulfilling all the demands of the law. Then God takes His righteousness and He gives it to us. When we believe in Christ and He takes our sin and He imputes it to Christ, and Christ bore our sin in the cross. And so today, when we take the Lord's Supper, we remember this is His body, this is His blood. He was crucified for us so that God would be just and justified in looking at you and saying, you're forgiven. And the way that happens is that He gives to us Christ's righteousness. Can I tell you why that's one of the reasons that's such good news? Because I don't have to try to earn God's love. I don't have to try to earn God's forgiveness. Can you imagine the pressure and the stress that all the religions of the world live under? Because how do you know that you've done enough? How many magazines do you have to sell? Right? If you're a Jehovah's Witness, if you're a Mormon, was your mission good enough? If you're a Muslim, have you kept the pillars enough? Now, all of those are false gods and false religions, and they're not a way or a means to a salvation. But you get what I'm saying? What God is saying is, you're free. You're free from living under this bondage of worrying, have you done enough? Because my Son has done it all for you. And so when he says here at the beginning, beware of practicing your righteousness, there's just some, I think, that they believe if I'm just a good person, if I just do good things, God will receive me. That is never the case. Never the case. He only receives us because of Christ. It is by grace that we are saved, not works, that any man may boast. However, as we saw a few weeks ago in Peter, and as we see in other places of the gospel, true believers will display a change in the way that we think, in our hearts, and the way that we act. And I think that's where he's going here. So beware of practicing your righteousness. Beware of taking this imputed righteousness that you now have in your life and acting in such a way before others that it diminishes the glory of God and it brings credit to you. It's a warning. He's warning us of trying to impress people with our righteousness. Do you know anybody who tries really hard to, like, be a Christian? I mean, they just, when you're around them, they just act like super spiritual, but in reality, it's probably not real. Sometimes that's what we hear about people in church, right? They act one way on Sunday, but they're totally different throughout the week. How would your kids assess your righteousness? And what he's saying is, look, be wary of trying to impress people with how spiritual you think you are. Notice what Jesus says. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Why? In order to be seen by them. Because if you do such a thing, you have no reward from your heavenly Father. And then what Jesus does is he tells us, he gives three examples of things that believers should be doing, fruit that should be manifesting in our lives, good works that we should be practicing. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit in us, and we're connected to the vine, we should be bearing fruit. You hear that all the time, right? James, if you say you have faith, you don't have works, I'm not sure it's genuine faith, right? So you should be bearing fruit. And so the ones that he gives us aren't the only ones, but they're easy to identify. Notice what he says. So notice the word, when you give. The implication there is that you're going to give as a believer. Because all throughout the Old Testament, that's what he says. Look after widows and orphans. Look out for those who are less fortunate than you. All right? Again, in verse 5, when you pray, the expectation is that as believers, we're going to pray. When you fast, verse 16, the implication is that's something that believers do. Now just stop and ask yourselves, are those things that you would say are characteristic of your life? And again, these aren't the only measures of if you're in Christ, but you have to ask yourself, am I a person who's giving of the resources that God has given me? Do I bless others so that God is honored? Am I a person who's praying and seeking Him? Do I have communion and relationship with Him, right? Am I a person who is fasting and seeking Him and trying to put off the desires of the flesh, right? The implication there is that those are things that we should be doing. But Jesus goes even further and he says, I want you to see the warning. Because there are people who do these things, but they do them with selfish or wrong motives. Notice what he says with giving, verse 2. And when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. So what he's saying is he gives an example. Just like the previous section, you've heard it said, but I say to you, here he's going to say, there are people who are going to give. And when they give, it's, hey, look at me, I'm doing all this great stuff, I'm giving money, and looking around to see if anybody notices that they're putting a little money into the plate, right? The poor person, the helpless person. And that equation here would be, I'm going to make sure that people see that I'm giving an offering. Do you know, and I think I've shared this once before, Gina, you can attest to this, right? We have gotten envelopes with nothing in them, right? Now, maybe it's an accident, or maybe it's to be seen as a giver, but not really a giver. In this church, and I don't think it's a kid, because usually kid has all kinds of writing on it. But what Jesus is warning is he's saying, look, don't be like that. Don't be somebody who says, look at me, I gave $10 yesterday to the car washer. I gave $100 to the car washer. I did this, or I... See, he's saying, don't do that when you give. Because if you're giving in such a way that others are going to, oh my gosh, look at them. They always give. They're always here. They're always, you know, blah, blah. He's saying, you get your reward. The reward is people notice you. But at the end, he said, that shouldn't be our desire. The desire should be that when we give, we do it in such a way that nobody knows. Not even, he gives this example, your left hand knowing what your right hand is doing, so that your giving's in secret. And notice what he says in verse 4. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There's contrast. Am I giving so that others will see, or am I giving in obedience and out of love for the Lord, knowing and believing that even if nobody else sees or ever gives me credit, the Lord knows? Again, talks about praying, same concept. And when you pray, don't be like hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogues and street corners that they may be seen by others. And they'll get their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's like the person who, if you get together in a prayer meeting and they're going to be a person who maybe is going to pray and pray for a really long time, right? But they may be the very same person who, not always, but may be the very same person who hasn't prayed really at all during the week. But they're praying because there's an audience. You ever done that? That's what he's warning against. Because if we pray, or if we pray certain things, I've been guilty of this right here. See, if you, somebody, you're in a circle and you're praying, and instead of really listening, you're starting to do what? What am I going to say? And how am I going to say it? And how am I going to sound? You know what that's worried about? That's worried about what people are going to think about me rather than just praying unto the Lord. Anybody ever done that one? I have. You don't want to look foolish. But I think what he's saying there is, like, if that's the reason you're praying, is because you want other people to look at you and say, oh, you're such a theologian, oh, you're so scholarly, oh, you're so righteous, you get your reward. You get the praise and the love and the affection of others. But what God is saying is, if true, genuine prayer is the kind of prayer that is done in such a way that nobody even knows you're praying that except the Father, and what you're praying in secret, the true heartbeat of your prayers, those are the things that he responds to. So it almost seems like it's better not to pray at all than if you're worried about what other people are saying when you're praying. All right? Same thing with fasting. Don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. I say to you, they receive their reward, right? I mean, so you can imagine, you get to work and somebody, you know, a Christian there is like, yeah, I'm not going to be going to lunch with y'all today. I'm fasting. Great, I didn't ask, right? Versus another person who's fasting, and they're just going about their business, and you say to them, hey, do you want to go do lunch today? Oh, no, that's okay. I'm not going to be able to do that today. Totally two different responses, right? That's what he's saying. The person who trumpets, makes sure people know by how they look, and, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm fasting today, I'm never going to be able to make it, but I'm doing it for the Lord, right? No, he's saying do it secretly. Do it. Anoint your head. In essence, he's saying wash your face. Don't be gloomy. Don't act like you've never eaten before and you're going to die, right? He says do it in such a way that nobody knows except your heavenly Father who's in secret, and you will be rewarded. You know what's really positive, it really jumps out to me in this text is he's saying that there is reward in giving, in praying, and in fasting. And it's either going to be the reward of the applause of men, or it's going to be the reward of having the ear, the attention of the Creator of the universe. Which would you rather have? Let me just give us three questions then as we kind of close it down. One goes back to the initial idea of this. For you to pause and ask yourself, what is the basis of your righteousness? Many of you in this room say, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is His blood, His death that is the basis of my righteousness. Awesome. But others of you, you may be here in this room today. You may have been here for years, and you still are struggling with, have I done enough good for God to receive me? Or I'm not really sure that I'm saved. My background taught me I have to do all this stuff in order for God to receive me. No, hear the words of the Scripture. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not all who labor for Him for 40 years might get saved. All who, through repentance, cry out to God and say, God, I am a sinner and I'm asking for Christ's righteousness to be credited to me, and I want to live the rest of my life for Him. Forgiveness and life are granted. Are you truly basing your righteousness and your standing before God on Christ alone? And if not, the Scripture says, throw yourself before Him today. For others of us, the question is, are we genuinely producing fruit, good works that prove that Christ really lives in us? And I'm not going to belabor that, but if we're not praying, if we're not giving, if we're not doing the spiritual disciplines and the things that the Bible tells us to do, reading the Word, I mean, we can just go on and on. You have to really ask yourself, am I truly in Christ? Again, you're not doing those things to get saved, but those things should manifest as evidence that you're with Him. If I never talk to Allison, it's pretty hard to say that we have a relationship. That's my wife for some of you. Right? If you never pray, how can you really say you and the Lord have a relationship? Well, I don't know how to pray. Good news. Come the next few weeks and we'll talk about it. But you have to ask yourself, is there really manifestation that I'm with Christ? And then if you do see that fruit, the last question would be, what's the motive? Do you serve around here because you want people to notice? You give here because you want people to notice. Do you pray because you want people to notice? Do you want people to think of you as somebody important? Or are you trying to like obtain a deacon nomination? Or are you wanting to be somebody you think is important, right? And so you try to do those types of things, and you're receiving the accolades and the applause and the love of the world or of this church? Or are you doing things in quiet that maybe nobody even knows except the Lord? And here's the real test of that. What if what you're doing or what you did, you never got credit for? And all the people said about it was this. Oh my gosh, how awesome is the Lord? He provided for my mission trip, or he provided for this or that, or he answered. I mean, I didn't know how I was going to have groceries this week, and they're here. And what if nobody ever knew that you're the one who gave that money, or you're the one who prayed for that person? Would you be okay with that? Right? Because I think that's what the Lord's saying here. The Lord honors and rewards when we do those things in secret. So testing on our motives. Lord, why is it I do what I do? Am I desiring the praise and the glory? Or Lord, am I okay with others getting it? And most importantly, am I okay with you getting it? Jesus warns us as believers, beware of practicing our righteousness before others. Be seen by them. For if we do that, we'll have no reward from our Heavenly Father. I want God's ear. I want God's reward. So I, and us, the challenge is to do things in secret that only God sees and allow Him to bless as He sees fit. Let's pray. Father, I'm asking for us today as we think about this word and the short period we had, we would examine our hearts, Lord, and see really if we're in Christ, if we're trusting in Him alone, or if we're basing our righteousness on how good a person we are. Lord, there are none that are righteous, no, not one. There are none that seek you. All have gone astray. All have turned to their own way. All of our works are filthy rags. And so, Father, I pray that every person in this room would know Christ as Savior, as the one to whom they have received His righteousness, and the one to whom they have transferred their guilt. And I pray, Lord, as believers, that we would bear fruit, but the reason that we would bear fruit would be that you would be exalted. And so, Lord, if there are those in this room, myself included, that struggle with getting the praise or the glory or the reason we do things would be to be recognized by others, Lord, we would see and hear your word today and we'd repent. And we would trust, Lord, that you're going to do what's right. You're going to bless those who seek you in the quiet place. And Lord, whether we ever receive any glory or honor or praise for what we do in this life, Lord, we can trust and know that you indeed reward those who seek your face and do it in a way that only you, Lord, know and see. So, Lord, show us our motives this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.